Yeah. Check it out. See, the only thing you need to do right here is snarl your freaking head.
Hey, well, all right, sir. I'm going to give you a lot of money and welcome aboard. Here we come on number 29 in. What are you going to give for? I'm a 25, I'll get 35, another 50, make a 50 bit of wrong. Hey, well, all right, sir. I'm going to give you a lot of money and welcome aboard. Here we come on number 29 in. What are you going to give for?
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, boys. July 14th, and it's episode 185, and this is the Fantasy Football Auctioneer Podcast. The Fantasy Football Auctioneer Podcast, the official podcast of thefantasyfootballauction.com, the internet's only website dedicated to fantasy football auctions. We got a great show for you tonight. Tonight we're going to talk some veteran highs and rookie lows. I guess that's kind of how the theme's going to go tonight. We'll also recap a little bit about what's going on in our Scott Fish Bowl. Blister's done. I'm almost done. Slim, he's still got a little bit to go. But of course, our analysts, they're always here. He's putting the finishing touches on our golf trip. Does it start tomorrow, Blister?
We got two words for ya!
I wish it started tomorrow. Not because I want to go golfing, because I've been terrible lately, but just it's always a good time and it's good to get away. We have a lot of things on the go this week. Baseball, golf camp for the kids, baking camp. It's going to be very busy around the. It's just like work and hockey season. It hasn't changed. It's just the sports have changed. And
I absolutely hear you. I was to Thunder Bay back twice this week, plus Minneapolis back, and we stayed in Mille Lacs north of the city. So that's an hour and a half drive to the fields. Hayden and I think put 30 hours in the truck this week.
Oh man, that's a lot of hiking.
It was a lot of. For six games of soccer. Anyways. So speaking of golf trips, Slim, he's getting ready for his first golf trip. Hey, Slim, is your liver going to be ready for this?
Will the real Slim Shady please stand up? I repeat, will the real Slim Shady please stand up?
Yeah, I've been working it out pretty hard the last week and a half, so I'm more worried about actually how old I am. Both elbows feel like they have some kind of tendonitis-y thing going on in them. I'm worried about four straight days. And to be honest, I've been doing so much yard work and landscaping so far this summer. My hands are so dry. I golfed one round on, Friday, and I split the skin of my fingers and peeled it off with an axe on the other one right where my grip is. So I've got no... minimal skin right now in some really bad spots to swing a golf club.
It's a marathon too, not a sprint, so it's four full days.
I'm gonna look like Tiger Woods out there. I'm gonna be taking little pieces of athletic tape and trying to wrap them around certain spots.
You let me know by next week. You let me know how those hands are, because if I have to, I'll rejig the team so you're not on mine.
Well, I don't know if you're gonna want me anyway, but. We'll see.
Yeah, Minnow's in trouble. He's going to have a sore back because my golf game is not winning. I'm not winning any matches with the way I'm playing. I'll do fine, and all of a sudden, boom, double bogey or triple bogey or something just stupid.
I might actually try to golf this week, so that'll be good. I'm going to try to go twice this week if I could. Yeah. That'll be good.
Don't go too much. The more you go, the worse you get. The more you develop bad habits.
So, hey, and just because you're talking about injuries, so my buddy who was in my wedding parties in one of my other dynasty league in the upper rubber boots, listen to this injury. He's at his sister's place. Blister, you'll love this, too. He's throwing a piss out in her yard. And so she takes the pellet gun to try to scare him, and is going to put one into the bush near him and shoots him in the back of the leg. And it went just below his calf. It went through his skin, and it came out the other side in between the bones.
No way.
Yeah, they were actually, they had a doctor there. I guess they were at a doctor's house, not at her house. And so then, there was a doctor there, and he had like a scalpel and whatever. And so they took a video of him peeling this pellet out of the front of his shin, the entry hole and the exit hole out the other side.
No way.
It went that far through.
Yeah, I know.
That must be a good pellet gun like I have.
That's why I thought you'd like it.
Oh boy. Oh.
Yeah. Ouch.
I'm glad you didn't take him right in the junk. That would have been even worse. That's what I would have killed her. Yeah, so did I.
No. That's right in the back of her leg, right there.
Yeah. I'm sorry, yeah.
Just I said, tip, why'd she shoot you? He goes, she was trying to scare me. I said, well, did it work? Like, I mean, I would have been, imagine what that would feel like. You're pissing.
Oh, I
also wonder if he pissed on his feet. Like, what happened after all that, too, right? Like, the yelping, the whatever.
Oh, man, that would have been bad.
This is going to be a good spot for some sounder.
Better finish me off. I mean, he was so enraged after that.
And it was his sister, too, no less, right? I said, you better have a good lawyer, but then I remembered that his sister is his lawyer, so I don't know how that works out. Anyways, wonderful. Let's get on to some fantasy football, guys. If you guys are ready, then I'm ready. Let's cock the hammer. It's time for action. All right, so like I said, we got a good show for you tonight. We're going to talk some veteran highs and some rookie lows. We're going to talk a little bit of Scott Fish. Before we get things rolling, though, Slim put out a reminder to us tonight that we got to get some mock drafts rolling. So last year we did a great thing. We had all of our listeners who were participating in either mock drafts or actual drafts were sending in their results. Every time they sent in their results to us, we put their name in the hat for a free full membership of the website, which includes all the spreadsheets, like our, with all of our auction values, the tiers, the cheat sheets, the articles, the premium podcast, all that stuff. It's a $15 value. So every time you send in a mock draft result, we'll put your name in the hat and each week we'll draw for a free membership for that. So you send your results to auctionmockdraft@gmail.com. That's pretty easy to remember. auctionmockdraft@gmail.com. And we're also talking about setting up mock draft Mondays. So where one of us or all three of us will be involved in some sort of mock auction to try to get a feel for what's going on out there and some, get some actual numbers so that we can have the best average auction values out there, because ours don't just come from some computer generation. They come from actual draft results. So that's auctionmockdraft@gmail.com, and be on the lookout on Twitter for entries into our Monday mock drafts. Follow @fantasyauction, and Slim will make sure he's posting those dates and times out there. All right, so I guess before we get rolling into auction stuff, guys, we got the Scott Fish Bowl. It's either wrapping up or has wrapped up. So, Blister, you've got things all wrapped up. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you thought? Tell us about your team. Tell us about what your strategy X, Y, Z.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I look at the, I had the first overall pick in my pool again, or I had it a few times now, but when I looked at my team, I kind of go, kind of like one of those meh, Slim's meh. You know, I think, but then I looked at everybody's team in my league and I thought I wasn't really blown away by any of them. So it's just going to be a matter of, I guess, who stays healthy and who, you know, comes out of the woodwork and produces. So I picked Aaron Rodgers, I think, probably early for me. Like, it's a super flex league, so quarterbacks are pretty valuable. Maybe it was in the third round when I had back-to-back picks, I believe.
Right.
So my quarterbacks are Aaron Rodgers, Dak Prescott, and with the very last pick of the draft, I grabbed Blake Bortles. He was the only... All the starters were obviously gone, and every time I wanted to get at least, I was even like, I was ready to take Joe Flacco, I was ready to take anybody, but they were all gone. So I figured, well, if anything ever happened to Goff and Blake Bortles gets the start, he's in a great offense, so he's gonna get points. So I'll hold on to him for a while, and I mean, if it doesn't work out and somebody good on the waiver wire pops up, he'll be gone. But so I started the draft with Christian McCaffrey. I picked Kerryon Johnson a little bit later. Late in the draft, I grabbed C.J. Anderson, kind of a, if he's a sort of a carry-on handcuff, but I grabbed Gio Bernard. The word is he's going to be getting more touches this year, and I hope so. And he does catch a lot of passes, so in this format, the catching the ball, catching passes and stuff is going to be very beneficial. I grabbed Gus Edwards, Kareem Hunt, Carlos Hyde, and Jalen Samuels to go with C-Mac at running back. Antonio Brown was my first receiver I picked, and that was probably... at the same time on the turn with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
I'm not excited about Antonio Brown in the least anymore, but you know what, if he can be, well, I don't know, 75% of himself, he'll still be a pretty darn good receiver. It's really hard to tell. I'm not a guy that, in one of our segments later, we were talking about who you'd be spending a lot of money on, and Antonio Brown for many years would have been one of those guys that would have cost you $60+ probably at an auction. But for me, I couldn't do that this year. I wouldn't spend any money on him because I just don't know. Anyways, we'll get into that later.
Yeah.
At receiver, pretty thin because I waited so long for the rest of them. Paris Campbell, Deshaun Jackson, Marvin Jones, Zay Jones, Jake Kumerow was probably around my 21st overall pick. Terry McLaurin, same thing. He was one of the last two picks as well. And James Washington at tight end, Hunter Henry, Delaney Walker, and the rookie in Buffalo, Dawson Knox, because right now he's number one on the depth chart. So that's my team. Hopefully it's a tight end premium. It's a super flex. Hopefully I have enough pass-catching running backs and the receivers I have. I hope I pick the right ones from week to week because they all should have some good games. It's just a matter of knowing when they're going to come.
Right. All right, and Slim, so you guys aren't done yet. You had somebody really affectionate with the proverbial dog there who got booted out of your league. Where are you guys at, and how's your team looking?
Yeah, we're halfway through the 16th round. I don't know. I don't mind my team. I picked at the 109, so I had probably a lot of different looks than what you guys saw. I kind of went worst case scenario in the first round. I was hoping to get one of Kelsey, David Johnson, or Melvin Gordon, thinking that Mahomes would go in the top, you know, seven, and Mahomes didn't go, and all three of those guys went right before me. So then I had the choice: do I take a quarterback, which I had no intention of doing pre-draft, and I hummed and hawed, and I didn't really like any of the running backs in that spot, and I didn't want to go receiver that early, so I ended up picking George Kittle, 109, which, if you look at the ADP, that's why I kind of was really on the fence. I was planning on targeting him when I came back around in the second, so that changed things a little bit, which I didn't mind. I mean, I like him more than Ertz this year in this pretty heavy tight end format. I wanted to make sure I got one of those top three guys if I could. I think you'll get more volume than Ertz. Mm-hmm. So I'm just kind of – plus, for a pool like this, I just thought it'd be interesting to have a 49er on there that I could at least cheer for all year.
Yeah, that's half of it too, eh?
So I ended up taking my second tight end in the fourth, and this is kind of where I have the most regret. I took O.J. Howard at what I guess it would have been the 404, which was a little bit early again. And it was probably overkill. I probably should have taken a receiver in that spot, looking back at it now.
Mm-hmm.
But there were still some decent ones on the board. I don't know why. I really like O.J. Howard this year, but I think, like I said, it's going to end up being overkill, where having one of those top receivers in that spot, it'll probably end up outscoring Howard, I would think, now. But at the time, I was just kind of blinded by this tight end scoring and wasn't thinking quite as much about how easy it's going to be for these receivers.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's going to be easy for a lot of receivers to hit this 50-point bonus. And it's not a bonus that's just you get to 50 yards, sorry, and you get 5 points. It's every 50 yards
every 50,
they get.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck, there's like, I'm trying to think here, who would have been still there? AJ Green was gone. Diggs was still there. Woods, Calvin Ridley. I don't know. Even guys like Lockett and stuff. I don't know. Probably could have went with one of those guys instead, but oh well. Anyway, I had to scramble at wide receiver later, and I've kind of just been hammering value and guys in decent offenses. And what do I got? Edelman, Boyd, Allen Robinson, Marvin Jones, kind of blah, but he was wide receiver 45. I felt like I had to take him there.
Yeah, oh, that's good.
MVS, Moncrief, just took Albert Wilson in the 16th. So I don't know. We'll try and hit on a couple of those guys, but we'll see.
Yeah, and that 5 point bonus per 50 yards is pretty big, right? Like, I mean, the tight end premium is the one part of it, but then if you start thinking about these guys who could get 100 yards receiving, or you know, the 50-50 running backs, I mean, that's 10 points. That's it's pretty massive. Plus, you're going to throw in a couple of first downs in there and catches and all those things too.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I wanted to get some of those running backs. I was hoping, praying David Johnson was going to be there in the first. That would have been the guy I was going to take.
Yeah.
For sure, with no-brainer. And, of course, he was gone. And so then it was like, well, I don't see too many running backs that I just think are going to be locks for 50-50 receiving and rushing. So then I waited till the second, took Mixon. I don't know how I feel about that, but I didn't really want Chubb. He doesn't catch enough passes, and Gurley is meh. And sorry, I should have used that. Yeah. Anyway, but so we'll see. I don't know. It'll be interesting. I got a good group of guys drafting with, and girls. There's a couple, one lady in there too. So it's been fun and pretty competitive. It's no real, like, just really glaringly shitty teams that you can see. So it's been hard to draft and try and read the runs and stuff.
Yeah, and that's where it was hard drafting on the end. Like, I was, like, blister the 101. So being at either of the turns, it's hard to – you got to kind of predict what's going to be happening with the run or try to set it yourself. And I don't know that I either predicted nor did I set a run, I don't think, in any of it. But I ended up with Jimmy G and Big Ben as quarterbacks. I took a – late rounder here in Eli Manning, because I figured, you know, a starting quarterback and there's not going to be anything on the waiver probably. Like Blister, I took Christian McCaffrey as my first overall pick, but with the rest of my running backs, I have Damian Harris, Rashad Penny, Jalen Samuels, Miles Sanders. My last pick here, I think in the 20th was Brian Hill, just thinking if Devonta Freeman gets hurt, like, does Ito have enough to be able to handle the workload. And then at receiver, I've got Paris Campbell. I took a flyer on Randall Cobb. I got Keelan Cole late, which I liked that pick. And I've got Brandon Cooks, Mike Evans. I doubled up in Seattle to see who's going to be the two or the three there. So Gary Jennings or DK. I have Trey Quinn, like you, Slim. I've got the Albert Wilson. I've got Robert Woods also. And then at tight end, I'm O.J. Howard and Dallas Goedert. So hopefully that will pan out for me there. We're just about done. We're just at the end of the 21st, right at the end, actually. I think we're 21:09, so we've got three or four picks, and I'm the last pick overall. So that's Scott Fish. It's been interesting. I like getting into group chats with the other guys in your pool too, because it's interesting to hear some of the banter. And there's so many sites out there, and there's so many people out there. Like, you think you kind of know everybody, you listen to a ton of pods, you read a lot of stuff on the internet, and then all of a sudden I'm in a pool here and I recognize less than a handful of names in it. So that always kind of makes it interesting too. You get some new Twitter follows and you follow some new guys and get a new look at some things too. So we've got a couple fans in our group too, so you know how, actually three fans in our group, so that could turn out to be disastrous for all of us, as fans tend to do fairly well at all this because we all overthink it, I think. So anyways, there's the Scott Fish updates. Anything else, Blister, you want to add to Scott Fish before we get rolling into some auction stuff?
Nope, just a great guy, does a lot of work for Fantasy Cares, basically Toys for Tots, and great organization, so people check it out.
Yeah, it's pretty good. You can follow, I think you go to Scott Fish Bowl. Is it scottfishbowl.com or scottfish.com? Scott Fishbowl.
I think it's a fishbowl, yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, you can follow along. All the stuff's on there. All the drafts are on there. You can see everything that's going on if you're not involved. Like I say, though, earlier when we were off the air, I was a little disappointed I wore my Scott Fishbowl shirt around the USA Cup soccer tournament this weekend and didn't get recognized for anything. I think it's just probably my ugly mug, maybe, that, and the sunburn that was really starting to hit my bald head. And, you know, oh, it was hot, boys. It was hot. Yeah. But it got me ready for the golf trip, Blister.
Yeah, I know. We usually have some pretty stinky hot weather, too.
It's going to be spicy.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
All right. Well, speaking of spicy, boys, see this little segue there. Let's get into talking about some high value, some real spicy auction picks here for you. So what I want to ask you guys, and let's kind of go back and forth about a couple of guys, because I think that's going to be pretty standard. But let's first off see, who are you willing to spend $60 or more on? This is on a $200 budget. We always go $200 budget, PPR, pretty pretty standard-ish league to try to keep everybody, for the most part, happy. But who are you willing to spend 60 or more on this year, and why? Or if you're not willing to spend 60 on anybody, let us know why not. All right, so Blister, because you came up with a topic idea, I'm going to send it to you first. Who's the guy you're willing to spend 60 on?
Well, I think if you look at my tier one receiver or running backs, Barkley, Elliott, McCaffrey, and Kamara, I think they're all pretty safe. The only one that worries me a little bit is sometimes Zeke gets himself in a little bit of trouble off field, and you don't know at what point between now and the start of the season, which will feel like an eternity if you drafted him right now, could he get in trouble where he could be facing disciplinary charges? Nothing right now. Of course, he got cleared of everything that happened in Vegas, but he's the only guy that I hesitate to do that. I mean, all these other guys catch a lot of passes. They're going to be the focal points of their offense. There's no reason to think they're going to have any decline from last year. They should put up big numbers like they did last year. So I think that they'll really are safe bets to be spending, you know, 60 plus on. Actually, when I look at all the running backs altogether, those are the only guys that I would consider spending, you know, high, even 55 or more on. Gurley now is a big question mark with his knees. David Johnson, you know, he's going to be popular again this year, even though he hasn't really done nothing special for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
But he's not worth 60. James Conner, you got to wait and see. Melvin Gordon now with the holdout potentially, and who knows what's going to happen with him. He can't. Lev Bell, I think going to a new team, in my opinion, I'm a little hesitant, and I know that, you know, he could get himself in hot water with Adam Gase. So yeah. I'd love to run the tab up on him and see somebody else take him. So, yeah, with Barkley, Elliott, McCaffrey, Kamara, just because they're like I said, they're very talented. They catch a lot of passes, which really helps pad the stats. I think those guys are all going to go for over 60 in your leagues, and to have one of them, you know, it's a good investment because they're going to give you points week in and week out.
So, Slim, anyone at the running back position that you disagree that you're willing to spend more than 60 on, is there someone else you need to add to that list?
I don't think I'm going to spend 60 on anybody. Not that some of these guys aren't maybe going to be worth it. Like, I think Barkley's going to be overvalued. The only two guys that I'd maybe consider it are McCaffrey and Zeke, but, right now, those three, so McCaffrey, Barkley, and Elliott all are going for slightly over 60 bucks. But what kind of we've seen in the last couple of years is, again, knowing your draft. If you play with some pretty savvy owners, the prices are probably not going to be to go quite as high as.
Blister, what are you doing over there?
Sorry
about
that.
Shower? What are you?
I'd like to. No, I think something is rubbing on my mic.
Yeah.
My shirt. Yeah. Is it loud?
Yeah, it was loud. I was
sorry. Sorry, folks.
It's okay. Keep rolling. Keep rolling, Slim.
Yeah. I think those prices might come down. Like, I know in our drafts a lot of the time, like, you do these mocks with people and they get kind of silly in them sometimes. But when you went and started looking at the data from, say, like, higher stakes leagues with, you know, more polished drafters, there wasn't a lot of running backs going much higher than the mid-50s last season. So I'm thinking that could be something more along those lines again this year. And if I got to spend more than 60, like, I don't mind going and buying David Johnson for, like, close to 50 then, or even somebody like Dalvin Cook for, you know, 40 or less. So I'm just for budgeting purposes, I'm not going to get crazy and start putting, like, 60 bucks in my RB1 slot because I don't think I have to.
Okay.
In terms of wide receiver, it's pretty deep. So again, I don't think I need to spend 60 bucks. You know, when guys like Julio and Devontae Adams and stuff will be going for probably around 50. So.
All right. So you think these prices are going to drop? Like, I'm thinking that we're going to see
they're going to climb. But I'm just saying, like, they're going to climb because of, we're going to get a bunch of data from mock drafts. And we know that mock draft data is, like, it's a little bit inflated, top end heavy, because people, when they go on these mock drafts, like, it doesn't mean anything. There's no penalty for them completely overspending or crushing their budget and then having a really shitty bench or something like that. It's just to go back to the fishbowl, the fishbowl ADP. A lot of guys are complaining that, oh, it's not really indicative of your draft. Well, that's fine. It still can be valuable as long as you know that it's going to be different and prepare for that, that difference or be ready for it to be different when you're using your actual draft so that you can adjust and know it's not the gospel right now. Like it's just giving us an idea of, you know, I just like even using it to see where the consensus is ranking these players. So I know that, you know, is everybody valuing Zeke as the RB1 or are they valuing Saquon or whatever? Like, so, but I think the prices will go up in the next month and a half. What's going to happen when you draft in August with 12 guys, you know, if it's a live draft, especially like knowing your draft, maybe you got a couple loose cannons in there that just are going to go DGAF and like drop 70 on a running back because they have to get this RB1 or something. Yeah. Like, so if you know you play with some savvy dudes, though, I would think you might not have to get crazy.
Well, see, and I still just think those top three running backs are going to go for over 60. They may not push into the 70s. You're right, a guy might, there might be the loose cannon in there, but I'm just thinking about our big home league, right? And the guys, we've all been together. We all know who spends money, who doesn't, and what it is. But I still think that there's that gap in there, especially now with what's going to go on with Melvin Gordon, let's say, that it just, that top tier is just going to, it's going to drive that price up where I think then all of a sudden you're going to find value in maybe tier two and tier three of your running backs. You know what I mean?
Sure going to be value. Like, why can't Saquon Barkley be this year's David Johnson?
Well, there's no reason why he couldn't. I think he's going to be. That's why I wasn't considering him in the Scott Fish at 101.
It doesn't make sense to me to pay up for, say, him when I could get David Johnson for considerably less, mm-hmm. a guy who should be used better, even if he's, you know, taking that out of it. They've told the NFL, we're going to run a shit pile of plays.
Yeah.
Like, their goal is to lead the NFL in plays run. So, like, volume alone should be there for David Johnson. And, like, they're going to try and get the ball in space to him. Like, I don't know. Like, it just seems like you're potentially wasting money dropping on one of those. I don't know. I shouldn't say wasting money. The value is probably just not going to be there. That's right. All.
Yeah, no, and I agree with that, too. I think that Dave Johnson could be ridiculous. I think you could definitely see Saquon and DJ flip spots this year.
Kamara should be strong again, prolific offense. Like, you know, he's going to lose some work to Latavius, but I mean, he's still going to be putting up big points and, you know, but.
Blister, is there anybody over at the wide receiver position that you're willing to spend 60 on, or do you think that'll push the $60 cap? You can look at it that way.
For sure. I think Nook and Adams, Thomas and Julio all probably could approach that. I mean, there's going to be guys in your auction draft, and you'll see when you're doing those mocks, and hopefully we can keep that going, but there's going to be some guys that come say, I'm spending on receiver. And so they want that one number one receiver. And so they're going to, you know, they're thinking that if other guys are spending on running back high, that they can afford to do that. So that could happen. It will happen in some of the leagues you're in. And the guy like Hopkins, Adams, Thomas, those are the top three in my opinion. I mean, Julio, he had a great year last year, actually. And he started getting the touchdown catches after partway through the season. So, you know, ended up as a highly ranked wide receiver last year. I'll pull it up here in a second. But I just, you know, every year is another year he's getting a little bit older all the time, too.
Yeah.
And I just, like, he ended up number two last year in PPR, so that's pretty impressive. The Nook was first, two Julio, then Tyreek Hill, Devontae Adams, Antonio Brown, Michael Thomas. You know, I like Nook. He's been actually number one the last 2 years already, so I think he's a guy that, you know, I'd pay that money for it if I could have him on the team. It just, again, all this stuff comes down to, like Slim mentioned, and you probably did, is knowing your drafters, if you can. If you know what they're like and what their tendencies are. And there's some guys that purposely actually try to have a different strategy Botsford every year that they try to throw his ear off or something. I don't know. It does something totally different than what he had done the year before. But that's, again, that's part of a pattern too, I think. Also, yeah, that and also just, you know, knowing prices change and be willing to shop for there's good value. Like, you have to be really, like I always say, you have to be flexible. But mock auctions, but those are probably the only guys. You look at, you know, quarterback, if nobody in their right mind, I don't care if it's a super flex or not, should be paying that kind of money on a quarterback or a tight end, you know. And all the years that we've played, I've kind of devalued the tight end because I've seen teams win that never really had much for tight end all year. So, you know, I think if the money to be spent is probably at quarter or running back and wide receivers, just how do you like the makeup of your team when it's all said and done? If you spent $60 on somebody at some point, you know, you can only do that with one or maybe two guys, but after that, you're going to be pretty thin. And do you have the savvy and the luck and the skill to draft all these cheap guys that are going to carry your team or hope that they can fill in the void after two guys? So that's the key.
Okay. Well, and I mean, so anything to add to wide receivers? Like, I mean, I don't know. I know I'm not going to spend over 60 on wide receiver this year. At least that's my plan anyways. I mean, again, when we get into the draft, who knows what you do, but that's not the plan. Anything to add to wide receivers there? It's big values or big dollar values, sorry.
Yeah, I just think it's deep again, and like, I'd hate being the guy that spies the most expensive guy in a tier. Like, that's, again, that's why I like having tiers, because I can look and say, okay, I got all these similar dudes. Who is the expensive guy? I am going to maybe avoid them. I'm going to look for the cheapest guy, because they should all produce roughly the same. So for me, I just hate, like, seeing, whether it's in a draft or, like, in a mock or something, where I look and I'm like, oh my God, I just bought, like, whether it's my RB2 tier or my wide receiver 2 tier, I don't want to be the guy that is buying the most expensive player in that tier, because I'm probably losing value then, right? If my rankings or my tiers are somewhat accurate, I guess, which that's a big if too. Like, ranking is a pretty arbitrary process, but still, I think, like, if you look down the list, there's, you know, 12, 13, 15 for some people receivers that they all, you know, you might feel pretty good about. So I just think, you know, I could buy two of those guys for the price of one, essentially. So maybe that's something I want to look into.
Well, and that's kind of like, I'm looking at our average auction values right now. And to me, that sweet spot of, let's say, AJ Green to DJ Moore, like, there's some real potential there. A lot of high ceiling guys in there. You could hit a Lockett, or Robbie Anderson could have a year, or, you know, Allen Robinson, we've seen have years before. Like, those are guys way down the list that you're right, Slim. You could get two or three of these guys for $60, right? And then pair that up with, you know, a couple of high-end running backs, and all of a sudden you might have yourself a roster.
Yeah, like, you don't even necessarily have to go that far down. Like, you know, if Thielen, for example, is 25 or something, or, like, sure, I'll take that. And, you know, maybe it's Amari Cooper and Thielen. You buy both of them or something. I don't know. I'm just kind of throwing names out. But yeah, you go a little bit further to guys like Lockett and Woods and Calvin Ridley and Godwin, some of these guys that, you know, we, most people are projecting to have pretty solid years, but yet they're still far enough down on the list that they're going to be relatively cheap comparative to the top guys. So,
right.
Yeah, I like those names too. Like, so I look at that list and I think there's a lot of good guys in there. I really like Mike Williams this year. You know, he's a guy that is going to be in line for more targets. Like, he did a lot of a good last year with very few targets, very few catches. I think he's going to be in line for more this year. There's a lot of guys, like you just said, though, like if Cooper Kupp, Chris Godwin, Calvin Ridley takes another step forward, like, there's a lot of guys that aren't going to cost. And at the end of the day, that's what happens. And in the auction, there is going to be big money spent by somebody on someone. And so once the big money is gone, like, as you get the overall money in that auction spent, then eventually, you know, guys have to go cheaper because people can't afford to go any higher. So that's always the goal, get people's money out there so that later on you could also, you know, buy up a huge stable of receivers. You might be able to spend $50 and have, you know, five or six of these names that we just mentioned, Godwin and Lockett, maybe Williams, Ridley, Robbie Anderson, Tyler Boyd. You might get the whole crew of them and you might be just laughing because they're carrying you. Each of them are capable of putting up wide receiver one numbers from one week to the next, yeah. You know, looking at the different matchups. So all you do is start, you know, you slide the ones in that have the great matchups that week, and you're probably looking at some really great production.
So let's flip it around then. Slim, let's throw it to you. Who are maybe some, let's take a look at rookies, for instance. Are any rookies in redraft this year that you're targeting, and at what dollar value right now are you saying thanks but no thanks to some of these young guys?
That's a good question, because, I mean, like, I haven't seen enough of what these guys are going for, and we kind of know that a lot of times rookies are somewhat inflated in price.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if I'm going to take a gamble on rookies, I typically, it's going to be at the running back position. So, I mean, I'll talk, I guess, about, you know, the big three there would be either Jacobs or Montgomery or Miles Sanders. Of the three, I think Miles Sanders is probably going to end up being the cheapest.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, you know, we see some stuff in training camp or in preseason where he just looks awesome. Probably because he projects to have maybe the most muddied path to considerable volume.
Right.
But for me, he's the best of the three. Like, in terms of talent, I like him the most. Montgomery's kind of sliding up there maybe a little bit. But, like, I think Jacobs is going to be a disappointment for some people. Like, he's going to probably cost the most of all those guys, because people think he's going to be this workhorse. I just don't think the Oakland offense is going to be that good. So,
right.
Like, really, what the hell do I want that guy for? Like, if he's not going to maybe be that super involved in the passing game, like, they got Jalen Richard there. I don't need some guy to just, like, lower his head on first and second downs and just run into, you know,
the back of the guard,
3
yeah.
yards of carry. So, yeah. So Montgomery for me is somebody I'm intrigued by. Like, I'm still a little bit scared about how much they're going to use him, because they got Mike Davis there, and like Cohen looks pretty set as a pass catching running back. But
right.
Montgomery looks like he could do that too. Right now he's going for $9. So I'm sure that's going to change. And then I'm trying to find Sanders on here. I don't see. Jacobs right now is at 22, and Montgomery.
Miles
at 9,
Sanders, so you have all the way down at those $4, RB 40.
There you go. So, like, and I think Sanders early on, he's the kind of guy that early on, you're not going to start him.
Yeah.
You know, first 4 weeks or so. But it's only a matter, like, I also in the camp that Jordan Howard sucks. So, like, it's only a matter of time before he should be able to show his all-round running back skill set and make the Eagles say, all right, we're putting this one-dimensional running back right on the bench, and we're going to let this kid just go out there and dominate. But I also know that, you know, Doug Peterson, he doesn't necessarily like to just use one running back. So that's the whole scary thing with Sanders. If his mm-hmm. price starts going up, then, man, I don't know. But I just want the cheapest guys, so I would rather gamble on Montgomery and Sanders than I would for Jacobs by far right now with the prices they're at.
All right. Blister, any rookie running backs that you're willing to spend a little bit of coin on?
No, I think, like Slim said, those are the biggest three names. There are other guys that potentially could work themselves into a backup role. You know, overall, the class isn't as strong as, say, last year with Saquon Barkley, but it's all about opportunity as well. So I think there's some guys that, like those three guys, hopefully they get an out. Jacobs obviously will, and then it's to be determined yet how much Montgomery or Saunders will. But again, knowing your draft and your group that you're drafting with, some guys are just so excited about the brand new rookie all the time. And so, mm-hmm. you know, they're going to spend a lot of money on them. If you know you have a guy like that, you can squeeze a few more dollars out of them. But other than that, no, you know, other than those guys right now, I can't even see me targeting any of these other guys, you know, late in my draft for a dollar, because I think there's other guys that have been in the NFL that, you know, potentially, you know, Gio Bernard's a good example. He probably won't cost you more than a buck, but he's going to play. He's going to get opportunities. He's going to get touches. You know that he's going to be involved in the offense. I'd rather spend it on him. Henderson's another one, though, in with the Rams, who's getting a lot of hype right now. And you know what? I'd say pump the brakes. Like, I think I might have said that on Twitter, but you know what? A few years ago, well, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but Malcolm Brown, when they signed Malcolm Brown, he could be going into his fourth or his fifth year now. I can't remember, but he's been there a while and they really liked him and he's still there. And, you know, then last year,
they just signed him, just gave him a new contract too.
Yeah. So they really like him. I can't see, and like last year he got banged up. They had to bring in C.J. Anderson over top of before Kelly. And you know, last year I remember saying to giving you a hard time. I think once Bex about why'd you draft that guy where you did or whatever. Maybe it was in our dynasty draft.
Yeah, and, well, no, he's John supposed Kelly to be really good.
There's a lot of hype, and so I started buying into it after a while too. And okay, he's pretty good. And then all of a sudden he never got an opportunity, and he can't. Like, I can't believe from one year to the next, all the hype they give, and then all of a sudden this year it's Henderson. Like, he's the real deal. Like, every year it seems like in that group, in that organization, the rookie running back, like, everyone just buys into it like crazy. And really, I think if Gurley went down, Malcolm Brown's getting the ball. You know, Henderson might be there somewhere, but I think Malcolm Brown gets first digs at it. So I'd spend a buck on him before the end of the draft over Henderson. So, yeah, I think that other than those other rookies that Slimbo mentioned, did we mention Singletary?
No.
He's another one you could keep an eye on. There's a lot of age in Buffalo, so.
it's a fine wine.
Yeah. I mean, Yeldon's there, Frank Gore's there, LeSean McCoy's there, but I don't know, you know, the only thing that worries me is I don't think they're that great of a football team, so I'm not sure how much running they'll be doing in the second half, unless he catches a pile of passes out of the backfield. That could be beneficial. But really, no, there's running back class for rookies. I'm not going to be spending too much money, if any, on them.
So, Slim, any like for Henderson, and then a name that hasn't come up tonight, but I know guys are probably waiting for you guys to talk about, is Damian Harris, too, in New England? Slim, any?
I mean, I'd be more inclined. Henderson is interesting to me, but I think he's going to be super expensive. Like,
yeah,
he's a hard guy to get a beat on right now because this Gurley news is kind of relatively fresh. None of us know really what to make of it. We haven't seen Gurley, like, practicing or, like, I don't know. Like, is he actually going to miss time? How bad is this knee? Like, and I think there's always going to be some loose cannon in your draft that's willing to just, like, I'm going for, like, you know, in the fishbowl, for example, people were taking Henderson in, like, the third round, some maniacs. It's like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, there's way better players that have more, you know, a safer ceiling, I guess, than that you could get in those areas. And I think that'll be happening in your drafts, too, unless some new news comes out that really drops Gurley down a ton. I mean, I've dropped him a little bit in my rankings, don't get me wrong, but because I think there's going to be some type of platooning happening. But Blister's right, like, at the prices, you might just want to go and spend a dollar on Malcolm Brown and go for the cheapest guy. And it's same with Damian Harris. Like, I'm not super sold on Sony Michel. I own a little bit of Damian Harris in some places, because if Michel, you know, isn't 100% or something obviously does happen, then, you know, Damian Harris is showed to be, at least in college, a pretty capable running back that can probably pretty easily get in there and do some decent things. So, again, I don't know how much he's going to get used, but if for the right price, you know, I think that a lot of people probably have Michelle higher than me. So Harris, I could see being a guy that I own some of, because if everyone else is higher on Michelle, that should drop Harris's price to make it a little more attainable for me.
Right.
Another guy I wanted to mention was Madison in Minnesota. Like, one thing I'm kind of, when I was looking back at last year, that I want to change for this year is I'm going to try and avoid as much as I can buying handcuffs. I'm going to use waivers in the first, like, say, quarter of the season to really go and, I guess, try and acquire those guys. Like, I don't want to have them after the draft. I'd rather have guys with some higher upside that look to be starters. see how things shake out. But he's a guy I think you want to pay attention to only because of Dalvin Cook's injury history. And there's not a lot of running back talent other than Cook on that roster. So if he ever goes down, Madison, I think he was taken in the third round.
Yeah, so I think so, yeah.
The Vikes obviously saw something in him that they like to take him hot that high. So interesting guy. You can get him for a buck right now. You know, if you're in a really deep league, I would say maybe take a stab at him. If it's a shallower league, I'd say watch for the first couple of weeks and then drop a shit pile of waiver money on him to go get him. But, yeah.
All right. Guys. So, Blister, any receivers that you're interested in? I mean, we've got the Paris Campbells and maybe it's N'Keal Harry's. You could go all the way down to the Andy Isabella's or some of those guys too. Anyone that you're willing to spend a little bit of cash on?
Well, I'm kind of interested to see if N'Keal Harry, like what exactly his role is going to look like by the time the season rolls around.
Yeah.
I always, we go back to some previous years and New England's had a pretty tough playbook for young receivers or people that are new to the system to figure out. So it's not just a matter of going in and, well, you know, Gronk's gone and, you know, the other guys are gone, so he's going to just get all these targets. He's got to be able to run the routes. And you know, Tom Brady isn't getting younger, so I worry some there. But I'd like to see if he's going to develop, because I don't think he's going to be real expensive, but I wouldn't expect anything better than, like, wide receiver three on the team for me. So
yeah.
If that's the case, I'm not spending, you know, more than $8 on a guy like that. That's only if I like what I see. Yeah, DK Metcalf in Seattle, that's another interesting one. I just don't think they're going to throw the ball a lot. Of course, if you can get him for $2 or $3 at the end of the auction, perhaps, maybe $1, you know, and if he can become a red zone threat, he might be able to give you some produce, like some good weeks for you. Mecole Hardman in KC got a lot of buzz. It's kind of died off now. Again, I don't think he's, at this point, I'm not spending more than $1 on him, but, you know, wait and see what Tyreek Hill does and Sammy, like with his suspension that's pending, I guess. Sammy Watkins is perennially a disappointment. So, you know, he could emerge. He's going to be in a great offense. So there's a few guys there that have some opportunities, some potential. So, but like I say, they might, you know, between now and the start of the season, they might want me, you know, I might see enough in them and say, okay, I want this kid on my team. I'll spend $4 or $5, $6. After that, I can't see me spending any more than $1 on a rookie receiver. And there's none of them on my radar that I'm targeting.
How about you, Slim? Any rookies you're targeting for a few bucks?
Not really, honestly. Like Blister said, they got to be dirt cheap. And some of these guys are for sure, but I just look at, you know, there's always a veteran guy or two in that same spot or area, tier, whatever you want to call it, price range that I would just rather have. And usually with receiver, like if you can give me a veteran that I believe in a good offense or something, I'll take that over a rookie in just about any offense, almost, you know, 10 times out of 10. So, I can't really go out there and say, hey, you should be trying to go and get any of these guys, other than maybe as like a late round stash.
Yeah.
And I guess the two that if I had to go and get, like, I'm thinking it's probably someone like Isabella, only because if the Cardinals are going to throw it as much as they say they're going to throw it, he's probably going to catch quite a few passes, or has the potential to catch some passes, I should say. And another guy that's intriguing to me, and I don't really know why, I guess because I just believe that Philly is going to be pretty good again this year, is Arcega Whiteside.
Right.
Again, if they throw it around a lot, you know, they've got Alshon Jeffrey, which he's kind of, you know, sometimes banged up and whatever. I don't know. Like, he's just kind of, for me, just not necessarily a mediocre talent, but what he does out there is kind of just mediocre. And then there's Aguilar, who's kind of found himself in and out of the lineup and had some trouble. Like, there's maybe some chance that he can carve out a little bit of a role in this offense, potentially, if things start clicking. And that's really about it. I mean, I'm kind of intrigued by Metcalf because if Seattle ever decides to throw it and let Russell Wilson do something that But he's going to be this guy that he might get you a goose egg 1 week. And then
when do you play him, right?
He catches two passes, and one of them's maybe like a 60-yard touchdown or something. But Harry, I don't know. Now there's this Josh Gordon news that's kind of simmering around. And, like, poor son of a bitch, he's going to have to fight through that. And I don't know. So, yeah, not a lot of Paris Campbell. I just think there's going to be a lot of dudes being used there that he won't be reliable this year either. So a lot of guys I like, just not liking this year in a redraft setting.
Now, the name you didn't bring up, Slim, that actually intrigues me is Debo. Like, I think that there might be a space for him there. Isn't he just a little bit of a bigger, better Dante Pettis?
Yeah, he's very similar. I just, again, he's a rookie. He's got to learn everything. Pettis has at least got a year under his belt, and he's not terrible either, Pettis.
Oh, no, absolutely, yeah.
So, yes, he's going to have to try and maybe beat him out, and I don't know. I'm just not really buying any Niners wide receivers, quite honestly, because I think they're going to spread it around to a lot of different people, and Kittle is kind of the only guy that I feel like could get steady targets, and I could see Pettis to some extent too, only because, like, who's he competing against right now? A couple rookies and, like, a couple fairly mediocre receivers, or somebody like Marquise Goodwin, who's kind of a one-trick pony, and, like, he doesn't, it's more or less, he's got a job here that's probably going to have the largest snap share for at least the first half of the season. So, but yeah, you're right. I don't mind Debo. I just am like, I don't know how much time is he actually going to be in the field? And, like, they got a lot of other people to throw the ball to. They got running backs to dump it off to, and, you know, a tight end who kind of looks like he could be a bit of a target hog. So we'll see.
And Blister, I mean, like you guys have been kind of saying, with rookies, especially at the receiver position, I mean, I think some of the hype will bring the value too high than what I'm willing to spend. I mean, there's a few guys you guys have both mentioned that I'd love to have on my team for a buck or two, but not for 7 or 8 or, you know, some of these guys like DK. You can just see that guy in your league. He's going to be a beast, right? And you'll be willing to spend close to 10 probably on a guy like that, and I'm not willing to go there. The one spot I am thinking about, though, Blister, and I know that you guys kind of hold him a little bit differently, is what do you think about a guy like Kyler Murray? Is he worth more than just a buck at the tail end of the draft?
He very well could be. Like, he's probably going to put up a lot of points with his legs. And we've seen Josh Allen in Buffalo last year. He was a top quarterback, in the second half of the season or the last third or whatever it was. And it was mostly due to his legs. I think Murray's going to do that as well. And again, he's a rookie. It doesn't mean a rookie quarterback can't produce. We've seen it happen ever since Newton and Luck came into the league. I mean, and before that, but I mean, like, those guys are still pretty studly quarterbacks today. So it doesn't mean that they can't come in and produce. When Wentz came in, he was doing quite well. Goff wasn't actually until the change of offensive coordinators and coaching. So I think other guys, though, like Mitch Trubisky, I think is going to have a big bump this year as well. And you got Dak, who's perennially a top QB1. He's always up there. So I think there's a lot of quarterbacks out there. I mean, if you can get him for a buck and you're confident that he's going to put up those points with his legs and stuff like that, then that, you know what, that's a hell of a buy. I think because he was a first overall pick, you know, he's probably going to, someone's going to spend $6 or $7 or $8 on him, maybe even 10, which I know I'd rather spend it on Wentz or Cam Newton or Winston even, or some of these other guys that, you know, been there, done that. They're going to get theirs there. And, you know, good things that Winston has Bruce Arians there. So I think you're going to see a big uptick in his production. And there's a lot of guys that would probably get cheaper that have been there and have put up the points already. So I'd rather not spend that kind of money on him, but I just think he's one of those rookie names that really will go for, well, super flex league as well. I definitely think they'll go for.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. So yeah. I mean, Slim, I don't think it's a bad investment. I just don't know if I'd go there. I mean, there's so many options.
Slim, if you were drafting right now, I know preseason's going to have a lot to do with it as well. But what are your thoughts on Kyler Murray?
Yeah, I pretty much got him like as this low end QB1, very high end QB2. I think he goes right up there, should go right up there with guys like Cam Newton, Ben Roethlisberger, stuff like that. Like, I think he's going to throw it a lot. There's going to be some growing pains with that, but it's just going to be so many passes attempted.
Yeah.
And then, yes, you're going to get like the rushing stuff happening too, which those are just free points.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like I quite like them, honestly. So yeah, I think you go spend, and it's tough. Like Blister's kind of alluded to it. I found it quite enjoyable, actually. I mean, it was a super flex draft and I wanted to wait a quarterback, but like, there just are so many QBs that I feel good about this year for whatever reason, whether it's Jameis Winston, Wentz, Breeze, Matt Ryan, Prescott, like there's quite a few guys that, I mean, you can throw Kyler in that group and just wait and pluck one out whenever you need to. And,
yeah,
you know, even a super flex league, you can just wait and wait and feel pretty good about it, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. Any other rookie talk before we sign things off? We're just pushing the hour mark here, boys.
Well, I think at tight end, like there's going to probably be some hype for Hockenson or Fant.
Yeah.
But I just think that you got to, I mean, last year it was all talk about Gesicki in Miami and he was terrible. He's a guy that's kind of flying under the radar this year. He might be a great guy to pick up, but I don't expect big things from tight ends either. It often takes them a few years.
Like, absolutely.
You know, Austin Hooper's quietly had a really good season last year when he first came out, though he was expected to have that. And it just takes a few years. And there's another guy that you could target probably for a dollar and he could be a top six tight end for you this year. So there's just a lot of guys out there. I wouldn't waste any money on a rookie tight end in a redraft league.
Nothing. Yeah, and I guess that's why I didn't even bring them up, but I guess I should have. Yeah. Sorry about that.
That's okay. No, that's fine. That's good.
Anything slim at tight end or anything else as far as rookies go?
No, I would avoid rookie tight ends. There's just probably no point in doing that.
Let someone else spend the money. That's the way I look at it. Because someone will.
Sure.
Someone's going to.
And then they'll drop them later. And if you want them, you can pick them up off of waivers. But
for your playoff run.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. No. Okay. Well, guys, we're pushing about the hour here. Let's just remind everybody out there, head on over to the website, thefantasyfootballauction.com. Ooh, I see I'm coming up in one pick here in Scott Fish to wrap that up. Sorry, head on over to thefantasyfootballauction.com. Check out the some of the articles we have on there. But we do have the membership site open. We've had some takers already this early in July, which is awesome. I love seeing the auction love happening so early in the season. But we've got over 300 players and their auction values and our rankings. We've got our value indicator on there, which is like the one, right? So when you look down our auction values, let's just take a, for instance, I was looking at a guy like, let's say, Julian Edelman. Like right now we have him going for $23. But right now we have him as a good value at a -6. So the lower on the scale, the larger the negative integer, Blister, the former math teacher. Ooh, you like that?
Yeah, that's good. That's really good.
Thanks. I don't even know if I said that right. Anyways,
good.
Yeah, thanks. But if you, if like we've got him at as our overall wide receiver 14, but really he's being drafted a lot lower than that right now. So he's a value. So you don't have to spend as much money to get that high end wide receiver too. So the green on our auction values chart shows you the values, the screaming values, and the red shows you the ones that are overvalued. So that's a big thing. Our value indicator is a big thing on our auction values. So with the big membership, we got three different levels of membership, but with the big membership, you get this spreadsheet, you get both the boys, you get their tiers. As we get closer to real drafting season, we've got cheat sheets that are on there. Plus you've got articles, premium podcasts. You have access to the members' Gmail account, which allows you to get right in there and ask specific questions, deep questions that other guys wouldn't get, especially off that little bit that you get to hit on Twitter. You get all that stuff. It's a $14.95, so it's about the cost of a magazine, maybe the beer you're going to drink while you read the magazine. And we've got buyers happening already here early in in July, and we'll just keep that rolling. It just updates more stuff, just gets added to the website, to the membership area as you go through. If you're just interested in the spreadsheets, if you just want to just go with the basic package, you can go all the way down to $4.95. Just get the spreadsheets. We'll send you the link to all those. You can make copies of those, edit them however you want, do whatever you want. Use those to build your tiers. We've got that value there as well. Another reminder that we got mock draft Mondays. That's Blister's line. I love it. We loved it today, pre-pod. So be on the lookout on Twitter at Fantasy Auction for links and information on mock drafts coming up. And also a reminder to everybody, if you are doing any mocks outside of Mock Draft Monday, send your results in or your live draft results into auctionmockdraft@gmail.com. And get your name entered in for a free membership and also help contribute to the site. It's awesome. The more numbers we get, the better our AAVs are for everybody. So if we all pitch in, not only are we going to put a huge dent into that AAV, but every little dollar value we get from all of our listeners out there helps to make it the most accurate for everybody. So that's auctionmockdraft@gmail.com. I'll ask you guys the infamous question. Anything else to add before we wrap this sucker up?
Nope.
I'm tired.
That's it. Okay, Blister, you made it. It's after 11. I had a kid.
Way late for me, man.
All right, well, you guys have a good time at the Kitty Golf tomorrow. And I'm going to see you guys on the golf course this week because I need to get the arms swinging a little bit before next week's big golf trip. All right, and for the rest of you, I'll see you when it's springtime. Whoa,
squeaky puberty voice. Hit.
Puberty hit. Never. Lots of cheering on the soccer field. Anyways, I'll see you when it's springtime in the Rockies.